And so tonight I will continue on preaching on the topic of resurrection power. Amen. My message for tonight falls completely, perfectly in line with that which Pastor Leona preached this morning. And so there's some stuff that I might repeat, but I need to repeat it to get into the flow of the message for you to understand what the point that I'm trying to make. Is that okay? Amen. And so tonight I'm going to be quoting scriptures. Okay? Now, when you study this, they will say that there's a few things that pastors should not do. And one of those things is do not quote too many scriptures, because this shows that you're trying to fill a void for lost content. Okay? I'm no ordinary pastor. Okay? If... Some did not like that. So when you see me quote scriptures tonight, the Bible says you test every tree by the fruit that it bears. Amen. I'm going to run with the Holy Spirit tonight. I want you to be open. I need you to stay with me tonight. Amen. Say resurrection power. Tonight I will be preaching on resurrection power that is actively alive within each and every one of us sitting here tonight, within each and every believer. Tonight I will be preaching on accepting the fullness of His grace that is completely available for everyone that comes to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, I accept You as Lord and Savior over my life. Tonight I will be preaching on the importance of understanding, of having knowledge and revelation of resurrection. And Pastor, you know, I've gone into great depth this morning. Who attended the service this morning? It was a very powerful message that was shared. Amen. Say resurrection power. You see, many come to the cross and they stop there. And they fail to go beyond the cross. And it's very important that we learn how to go further from the cross. Once you've gotten there, what then? What's next? It's important that we understand how to be led by the Spirit of God. It's important to have knowledge and revelation of the resurrection. Otherwise, you will not be able to go beyond the cross. Amen? You need to understand that when the disciples walked with Jesus, that they knew Him in the natural. They walked and talked with Him in the natural. They sat at His feet as He preached the most powerful principles of the kingdom of heaven. They knew Him in the natural as they saw His death. They did not need revelation of His death because they were there when He was crucified. They didn't need revelation of this. But what they did need revelation of was of His resurrection. Amen. Say resurrection. Now, why is it so important to have knowledge and understanding of the resurrection? And so for me to be able to answer that question, I first need to make the statement. You need to understand that the majority of religions of today believe that Christ have died. They believe that Jesus died. Amen? So the thing, it was not Jesus' death that made Him credible. It was not His death that gave Him credibility. I'm not saying that it was not His death, that His death was not powerful. On the contrary, His death was all powerful. Amen? As it was the most powerful act, a sacrifice of love and forgiveness that have ever been made. As a king came into this world, born in the likeness of a sinful nature, to be a sin offering. And so He fought one of the greatest battles that have ever been fought. And that battle was for our lives. He had to lay down His life so that we can receive life eternal. Amen. Never in history, never have such an act of courage ever been recorded, nor will it ever be seen again, because a sacrifice was made once for eternity. Even before the foundations of this world, that sacrifice had been made once for eternity. And we need to understand the resurrection power that is alive within us. Nonetheless, it was not His death that gave Him credibility, but the thing that gave Him credibility was His resurrection. Amen? Say resurrection. It is the same for each and every one of us here today. Many believers, listen, we do not need revelation of His death. Amen. It has been proven, studied, ancient documents over years. It's been studied, it's been proven. Yes, Jesus died. We do not need revelation of that. But what we do need revelation of is of the resurrection. Amen. That he died on the cross. That he faced death of 3 days. And on the third day he rose again. That he was exalted back into heaven, back into power, back into glory, back into truth, back into authority. And that right there, he has given us the most important, most powerful gift that anyone can ever ask for. And that was the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is now actively alive within, upon, and around us. The gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the resurrection power that is alive within you. Who's sitting here tonight can say, you know what? I believe that I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. That I am anointed. Who believe that they are anointed? Raise your hands. Do you believe it? Jesus told his disciples and all his followers just before he went back into heaven. He left 2 things. The first thing that he left was the Great Commission. And that we all know, and it's Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. You don't have to put this on the screen. And he said that, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and these signs will accompany those who believe. We all know it's a Great Commission. But he left something else called the Great Commandment. Amen? And that Great Commandment was set in place so that they can follow the Great Commission. Without the Great Commandment, they would not have been able to walk in the Great Commission. And that Great Commandment was, Jesus said to them, go, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He said, listen, wait until you receive the gift that you heard me speak of, that my Father will give unto you. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they went into the upper room and they prayed. You need to understand that word tarry. It means to wait. But it is not a normal waiting as a relaxed type of waiting. It is almost like an anxious anticipation waiting for something that is about to take place. And while they prayed, the Spirit came in like a flood, like a rushing wind, and rested upon them in the form of flaming, of fiery tongues. And they got baptized in fire and with power. We all carry that same resurrection power on the inside of us. But many fail to believe it. And do you believe that you carry that resurrection power on the inside of you? And so what we do need now is, we need the Holy Spirit to lead us beyond the cross. You see, it's the cross that brings you into salvation. That is why we call our Lord and Savior, King Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because the cross has brought us into salvation. Amen. But many believers stop there. This is how it works. The cross brings you into salvation. But the resurrection brings you into power. The cross is the place where you get baptized in his death. Amen. But the resurrection brings you into power, meaning that it's already on the inside of you. But it's got to be activated. And this is done by faith. Say resurrection power. Say again, say resurrection power. I'm telling you tonight that there's a power on the inside of you. That the devil has no right over your life. That it's all been done for you on the cross of Calvary. That you are called a son and a daughter of the Most High God. That you are royalty. And that nothing can stand in your way. The question is, do you believe it? Amen. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, and when he rose again, there's 3 things that he did. And the first thing is that he removed our transgressions. Say transgressions. The second thing is that he remembers our sin no more. The third thing is that he releases us from our iniquities. Now, what does it mean when the Bible says that He removes our transgressions and that He releases us from our transgressions? Understand that the Bible uses two names for sin, and that is transgressions and sin, transgressions and iniquity. And these two words are not the same in meaning. They are completely different in meaning, and it would be wise for you to understand the difference for you to be able to have revelation of the resurrection. Amen. So an iniquity is something that happens to take place on the inside. It is in your hearts. It is an inside motivation that drives you towards sin. It's something that takes place on the inside. A transgression is something that happens on the outside. This is where we get the word trespass from, meaning that you have stepped over a known unauthorized boundary. Meaning that you are moving from a place of a suggestion, of a thought, or of a temptation into engaging in the physical acts. That is a transgression. Amen. But He have died for our transgressions and for our iniquities. An iniquity is something deep inside of the heart. Where the transgression is in your hand, it's an action. You might say that an iniquity is an attitude. A transgression is an action. Amen? It is an action. Say transgressions. It is in this that I'm just checking where to go. I'm not going to follow the notes tonight. While we were sitting at the back, I told Risha, I feel something else is going to happen. You know, it is in this that they have tried to catch Jesus out. When they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery, and they threw her down at Jesus' feet, testing Him now to see whether He knows the law. And they said, listen, we have caught this woman in the act of adultery. Amen. And that according to the law of Moses, she deserves death. She deserves death. This is a sin punishable by death. And that she will be stoned. What do you say? They asked Jesus. And He bent down. And with the finger of God, He started writing on the ground as if not even listening to them. Understand that the great accuser, our enemy Satan, comes before God day and night accusing us. But God is standing as if He's not even hearing it. He's not even hearing it. Amen. And He looked up and He says the following, and He said, let the one who have no sin, let that one cast the first stone. And the word of God, the word of power, the word of truth, the word of authority, the word of God at that moment have completely paralyzed, demolished, annihilated the word of accusation, the word of death, the word of bondage, the word of curse, the word of sin. And the Pharisees were forced to take the weapons that were in their hands, they were paralyzed. They couldn't use it. They had to drop it to the ground. Jesus said that if a man in his heart lusts after a woman, that he is guilty of the sin of adultery. The Pharisees might not have been guilty of the act, although they were. But there's another statement that I'm trying to make. They might not have been guilty of the physical action, engaging in an adulterous act. But in their hearts, they carried the iniquity and stood guilty of the sin of adultery. It's the same thing when Jesus said that if a man in his heart hates his brother, he's guilty of murder. If you have hatred and unforgiveness in your heart, you might not be physically be guilty of the transgression, the physical act of physically taking someone's life. Nonetheless, you are standing guilty of the iniquity, of the sin of murder. And when we look at these things, it seems almost impossible. to get out of this trap of unforgiveness, to get out of this trap of condemnation, to get out of this trap, this dark pit of transgressions and iniquity. How do we escape it? It seems almost impossible. Oh, but God made a way. God made a way the day that He sent His word, and He healed us, and He delivered us from our transgressions and our iniquities. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 107, I want to see if I want to go there. Psalm 107 verse 17, King James Version. Put that on the screen for me. And it says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And then it goes on and it says, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word. Oh, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I want to tell you that your sin, your transgressions, and your iniquities does not stand, does have no ground in your life. It has been taken out. He has been wounded for your transgressions. He has been wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Come on. Wow. You need to understand the fullness of this message and the weight that it carries. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Do you not know that you have peace? And with His stripes you were healed. Many people think this is only pertaining to healing. No. By His stripes you've been healed in every dimension, in every area of your life, financially, in your relationships, in your business place, at your job, whatever you can think of, you have already been healed. But many fail to take possession of what God have done for them on the cross, because they are staying at the cross, and that supernatural power and resurrection power have not yet been activated by faith. You have not yet taken the step of faith and said, that's it, I have had enough. No more will I stand by as the enemy comes in and destroys, kill and steal. Been wounded for our transgressions. What is a wound? If you've been shot, it's an outwardly wound. Blood will come out outwardly. A transgression is an outwardly action. On that cross, your transgressions have been removed. What is an iniquity? What is a bruise? It speaks of internal bleeding. If you are bruised, it means that you are bleeding internally. An iniquity is an inwardly act of the heart. It is something deep within. When Jesus Christ was crucified upon that cross, He both cleansed you from within and out, completely and utterly removing everything that you stood guilty of. Everything. The things that you have done and the things on the inside that God disapproves of have completely been removed. We do not deserve this grace. We do not deserve this compassion. We do not deserve this love that is being poured out over us every single day. Yet it gives it freely and without condition. But I thank God. Oh, I thank God for the blood of the Lamb. I thank Him for every day for His unconditional love. I thank Him every day for His grace upon my life. For the Bible says that where sin abounds, that grace abounds even more. And now when God looks at you, He does not see your sin. When God now looks at you, He only sees the blood of the Lamb. When God now looks at you, He only sees the image of His Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And remembers your sin no more. And remembers your transgressions no more. And remembers it no more. Do you not know? Do you not know that you've been saved? Do you not know that you carry the Spirit of God on the inside of you? Do you not know that there is now infinite possibilities? Do you not know that you are more than a victor? More than a conqueror? Do you not know that you are a son and a daughter of God? Do you not know that He speaks highly of you? Do you not know that He thinks of you every day? Do you not know that your name is tattooed on the palm of His hand? Do you not know that He loves you unconditionally? Do you not know that you cannot fail anymore? He has done it everything. He's done everything for us. Yet we are trying to do it by works. Still trying to pray out our 8 hours a day because that one is doing it. Trying to spend 7 hours in the Word because this one is doing it. We are still trying to gain that righteousness through works. This is not the way that it's just not the way that it works. You see, many fail to accept what God has done for us. He has given us a new life. A life of abundance. A holy kingdom life. And these things carry no more power over you. Many stop at the cross and they fail to receive the fullness of the cross and every blessing that has been released. Only some. I can only see myself in this area. Yes. I can only see myself in this area. But there's poverty. Yet I'm okay on this side. My health is there. Everything's intact. Yes, thank you, Jesus. But I'm living in poverty. No. You've not yet been made perfect in love. You've not yet gained that revelation. When you gain the revelation of true grace, it is something that you cannot fight. You cannot win this fight. No matter what you do, you have been saved by grace. And many might sit here tonight and they might think, you know what? How do I know that I'm of God? How do I even know that I'm filled with the Spirit of God? How do I know that it's real? How do I know that it's real? Put on the screen for me this. I want to show you something. Before I do this, I want everyone to stand with me. And don't just say this because I'm asking you to say it, but if it's in your heart, I want you to say this because there's a statement that I'm trying to make here. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I want you to say it. Say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe, say, I believe that Jesus came in the flesh. Amen. Now watch this. Put on the screen for me, John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Put on the New King James for me, please. I normally ask for the King James. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit. Who knows that you are made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit? Okay, so every spirit, meaning your spirit. It's in a small letter. Your spirit. That confesses that Jesus Christ hath come in the flesh is of God. Put on the screen for me 1 John chapter 4 verse 15. 1 John chapter 4 verse 15. I want to show you this. Whoever confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, oh, God abides in him. And he in God. Yeah. When Jesus died on that cross, you were baptized into his death. We were planted together in the likeness of his death. And that we so also can be in the likeness of his resurrection. As he is, so are we in this world. This life that we have received is no ordinary life. It is a life that if you choose to receive it, makes you like God. It is a life that if you choose to receive it, makes you unstoppable. It gives you uncommon favor. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Yet many are caught up in condemnation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the NIV version, from verse 1, and just follow with me, and it says, you can have your seats, I'm almost done. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I've just shown you that you are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that gives life. Listen, this is what I love most about the Holy Spirit. He can step into a room and life just pours out of him. You are filled with that Holy Spirit, meaning that life just pours out of you. Amen. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that gives life have set you free from what? From the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned that sin in his flesh. Who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, you do not live according to the flesh. Because people will say, but you're preaching a grace message here tonight, and you're giving me the right to go and sin, because all my sins have been forgiven. If you catch the true revelation of this word, you will not want to go and sin. Because you will understand who and what exactly you are. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. It is up to you what you choose. For a mind governed by the flesh. I wish you could see your faces from my side. You're trying to see where am I reading it from? Let me read it because people are getting... The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. A mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who live in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, ECC, are not in the realm of the flesh. But in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives within you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of you, we have established that by now, then he that raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that lives on the inside of you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, and it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit of God you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. That you should be, does not make you, that does not bring upon bondage, that you should be. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves again, that you should live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him now we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, listen to me. If we are God's children, then we are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may share in His glory. Paul have said that I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For, why? Because creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Are you the one to be revealed? You need to start taking action. Prophesy yourself blind to your circumstances. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. If He's the Spirit of testimony. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of testimony. You would not be able to say those words if you are not filled with the Spirit of God. All this is applicable to you. Do I have time for one more? Ezekiel chapter 37 from verse 1, King James Version. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And He set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? I don't know what it is that you are facing tonight, but I want to ask you, can it live? Can these bones live? And He answered, O Lord God, only Thou knowest. Knowing exactly where His trust is in. Again He said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will bring up flesh upon you, I will lay sinews upon you, bring up flesh upon you, and I will cover you with skin. And I will put my breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So I prophesied, and action was taken. Up until this point, when God was speaking to Ezekiel, nothing had happened. God was speaking, yet nothing took place. Until Ezekiel started to speak. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And behold, there was a noise. Oh, and a shaking. And bones came together. A bone to his bone. Tonight, whatever you are facing is about to be restored. It's about to be healed. It's about to come to life. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Say importation. There was no breath in them. Tonight I'm going to lay hands on you. And I'm going to call forth, O breath from the four corners. To come through your situation. Tonight importation will take place. Tonight your situation will change. You need to understand that it have already taken place. It have already been done. All that I'm trying to do tonight is to change your mindset. All that I'm trying to do tonight is to get you to believe it. There's a world out there that is waiting for you, children of God, to be revealed. Can I do one more? I want to show you who you are. John chapter 1, verse 1. And we all know the first verse. And we all stop there. Follow with me again, King James Version. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. Yes. I like that. The Word excites me. Oh, I love His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things was made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. There was a man sent from God, whose name was Pastor Leon. His name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, which lighteth every man that cometh into this world. Only some have gotten that one. The world was made by him. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, what happened? To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Understand that when you stood up in that resurrection power, that you are born of incorruptible seeds. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seeds, but of incorruptible, by his word that liveth and abides forever. You are the very manifestation of his spoken word. He breathed you into a life. And he said, Eckhart B., Rushai B., Chris B., Marie B., you are a manifestation of his spoken words. And the Bible says that no word from God will ever fail. There's a power on the inside of you that the enemy hates. You carry demon torturing power. And when that accuser comes standing in front of you again, it is time for you to rise up and to point your finger in his face and to say, hey, turn to your neighbor and say, hey, I have been saved by grace. Look at yourself. Look at your neighbor. Look all over. Say, do you see this? It's the blood of the Lamb. I want everyone to stand with me, please.